presented to Castle Rock businesses, then non-residents, and the businesses outside of the town of Castle Rock as time permits. Council is also accepting public comments written submitted online at crgov.com/councilcomments by 1 p.m. today to be included in the public record. I do have one person signed to speak, Susan McAfee. Oh, sorry, Susan. It says dash one. That's why I said I thought you were on now.
Number nine.
Is it number nine?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll write down number nine then. That's okay. Moving on then to town manager's report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council, and Happy New Year to you all as well. Just a few items to walk through, and then Tara is going to come up and provide us with the monthly development update. You see the calendar items here into January and February includes the Fire and Rescue Department's annual banquet, which you hopefully have on your calendars. The next slide goes into some of the events that we have going on. We're participating in a multi-jurisdictional coffee, not just with a cop, but with co-responders in Highlands Ranch. Parks and Recreation has their winter ball here at the end of the month. And as a hope that someday spring will come, Parks is also hosting a open house for their Bluebird project there in February. The next slide has some of the neighborhood meetings underway. We've got some townhomes being planned in Dawson Trails. The Auburn Ridge PD and amendment and site development plan is having a meeting on their proposal here on January the 14th. And then you also see a proposed Ridge Road early childhood facility that's also having a neighborhood meeting. That concludes the calendar report. Also in your packet is a listing of the 2026 major projects. It's a very high level overview of all of the projects. Please take a look at that. Shouldn't be any surprises in there. These are projects that have been previously approved as part of your 2026 budget. But when somebody says, what's going on in town, in this department or that department, it's got a really good list of a number of projects and items that we're working on. So with that, I'll turn it over to Tara with some highlights of what's going on in development.
All right, so thank you all. This is a quick run through of the pre-applications that we've received since last month's presentation to you all. And again, as a reminder, these are not formal applications yet, but every project has to go through this step before they become one. So some of these do turn into projects. So we'll start in District 1, Councilmember Hollinghead's district, over at the hospital. So they already have a medical office building, the Schrader Building, for their cancer center. And so they are proposing an addition to it. It's 800 square feet off of one side. It's really to provide a place for some of the equipment that's needed for what they need to do to expand the radiation center. In the Meadows, there are proposed townhomes. This is on Meadows Boulevard, just west of Paintbrush Park, and just south of the church facility there. So this property, they're proposing to build six different buildings with townhomes, 22 units total. Each would have a two-car garage and a two-car driveway. District 3, Councilmember Bracken's district, we have a pre-application over in our industrial park area off of Topeka Way, so a proposal to change one of the tenant spaces out for a game show All-Stars. It's an interactive live game show immersion attraction that would have capacity for 6 to 25 guests per hour. Also in the Meadows, and this is just north of the movie theater and really just across the street from the Lombard Regent area where the car wash and mini storage are located. So this is a proposed multifamily development, 322 total units for market rate in two different buildings along with clubhouse, pool, fitness, bike parking. This area previously has a site development plan on a portion of it for multifamily that didn't move forward. District 4, Councilmember Davis's district, we have a pre-application for a rezoning of two different parcels of land. It's called Alexander Place right now. The southern portion is zoned for continuum of care, and the northern piece under the Cooper Hook zoning is zoned commercial. And so this request is to change from both of those to 51 single-family homes. District 6 and Councilmember Dietz's district, we have a proposed fiber build out in the Lanterns area, so just over 7,000 linear feet of conduit and fiber on Old Lanterns Parkway and East Montaigne Circle. And then just south of the southern end of downtown, so just south of Plum Creek Parkway, south of the Walgreens on Wilcox, we have a pre-application for a quick trip fueling center at this location. So it's an existing office building at the moment. They are looking to build a new fuel station and convenience store along with their new bubble bath car wash. So it would include 20 fuel pumps, air station, vacuum, and the convenience store. So adjacent to council districts, and in one council district, it was hard to make the slide for this one, we have the pre-application for CDOT's Mobility Hub. So they submitted a pre-application for three different locations. They're in the process of selecting one location, but wanted to understand the submittal requirements for each. The first northern piece is in Councilmember Davis's district on the Pine Canyon property along I-25. The more central low proposed site is right at Wilcox and Wolfensberger on property owned by CDOT along I-25. And then the southern one is south of Plum Creek Parkway on the west side of I-25. And is on property that CDOT owns. So the CDOT Mobility Hub would support their Bustang interregional bus service. Again, for pre-application, we're just giving them the staff level information on what's required. This is not the process to determine which one they select to move forward with. And then this is not a pre-application. It's a parcel of land we haven't had an inquiry on in my history with the town, so I just wanted to bring it up. It might proceed to a pre-application. This property is Cambridge Heights Plan Development. This is located south of 86 at High Point and Inderud. Is the intersection shown on the screen. So it's surrounded by single-family homes that have mostly in this area were developed years ago. So it looks like a vacant piece of property. It is one of those that's on our undeveloped properties map because it does have zoning rights on it. So it was zoned in 2003. 5 acres at the corner is zoned for neighborhood business, neighborhood commercial uses. That does include gas station, fueling centers, drive-through restaurant, retail, those types of uses. And then it also has just over 6.5 or about 7 acres that's zoned to allow 100 units of multifamily. So we just received our first call ever on this property and have a meeting scheduled to find out what the questions are and what they're looking to do there. Again, if it moves forward, it would become a pre-application and then you'd hear about it again. But just wanted to put that on everyone's radar since it's been, nothing's happened since 2003 and it's not a property we normally get inquiries on. So with that, happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for Tara? Thank you very much, Tara.
Thank you.
I don't have anything else.
Thank you, David. Moving on to the town attorney's report.
No report tonight, Mayor, members of council.
Thank you, Councilor. Next, I have the municipal judge's report. Judge Thor.
Good evening. I have struggles with technology, so want to make sure that's working. Good evening, Mayor, members of Town Council. I'm going to read you a prepared remark, and then if we want to have a chat, have any questions, I'm happy to answer those. I apologize if this is lengthy. If I had more time, it would have been shorter. It has been a momentous couple of weeks in the municipal court world, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. I was privileged to be appointed as Castle Rock's municipal court judge in March of 2025. I started hearing cases on April 9th, 2025. And have therefore served 9 months on the bench. I've been humbled and fortunate to follow many long-serving judges in the 8 municipal courts where I preside, and I've learned that the transitions can take some time and always provide opportunities for change. I wish to make it clear with council tonight that the transition to Castle Rock has been smooth, seamless, and required very few structural or procedural changes. This is absolutely due to the professional and knowledgeable staff Castle Rock has administering and running the daily operations of the court. Carla McCrimmon, who's here tonight, court administrator, is a recognized leader in the Colorado Association of Municipal Court Administrators and has in place a system of best practices in Castle Rock. Julia, Erica, Kathy, Cameron, and all the court security staff have welcomed me and provided me with timely information and assistance to ensure the court runs smoothly, and I'm grateful to them all. I also wish to point out that the town is fortunate to have the services of the Auspice Law Firm, which essentially specializes in municipal court prosecution services. I do work with them in a number of my other jurisdictions. They are professional, knowledgeable, and with extraordinary experience and resources. The town is also fortunate to have the services of experienced court-appointed counsel. Court-appointed counsel is necessary in certain criminal cases if they meet financial eligibility guidelines or if I have concerns about their ability to understand what's happening in the process. Castle Rock is blessed to have the services of Juliet Miner and Tom Ramunda, both of whom have appeared before me and have been very impressive and helpful indeed. As in any system, there have been some small changes. The court updated the advisement of rights, the pretrial advisement, also called an Arguello advisement. We met with representatives of the police department about court security, made some small changes to the schedule to be efficient as possible. This process will continue, that is the process of making necessary changes to the court as potential legislative and common law changes occur, and we anticipate that they will. I was honored during my initial tenure here in Castle Rock to speak to the third grade class at Clear Sky Elementary School. I did so on October 30th, 2025. They asked good questions and kept me on my toes. I think I was more nervous than when I appeared in the Court of Appeals as an attorney, but we got through it. They were wonderful. Speaking personally, I continue to be active in the Colorado Municipal Judges Association as a past president of that organization. While my term as a board member has ended, I continue to attend all conferences and participate in discussions regarding best practices. Today, for example, I spent an hour on a video call with about 18 other judges discussing a recent case and its implications. On December 22, 2025, the Colorado Supreme Court unanimously held that municipal court penalties could not exceed state penalties for similar offenses. As you can imagine, that had us all scrambling a bit. So happy holidays to us. The opinion specifically referenced petty offenses and misdemeanors, but there has been robust discussion amongst the bench about how far-reaching this opinion might be. I am prepared to implement the opinion as I understand it. I also understand that the Colorado Municipal League may be involved in getting information to municipalities as to potential changes to general penalty positions in the town code or town codes. This is a very recent development and one we're all working through. It's a fairly important finding by the Supreme Court, one that changes the way we're going to do things, I think. I'll conclude with some facts and figures for you. The councils I appear before always seem to want to know how busy we are, kind of what it looks like on a daily basis. On average, there are 265 cases per month charged into this municipal court. Thanks to Carla, I have year-end totals, 3,047 new cases in Castle Rock this past year. The total dispositions handed by the court, and this number is higher, 3,886. That's due to cases maybe being filed in previous years, people appearing on warrants who hadn't appeared when they were originally supposed to be here, things of that nature. About 90% of those cases are traffic and parking. The remainder are general offenses and consist of animal, criminal, and code violations. Month over month, the number of cases remains relatively steady with a slight increase since I was appointed. The court is in session on the second Wednesday of each month, with the morning consisting of remote traffic arraignments in the afternoon, consisting of in-person general code and criminal arraignments. Trials are generally held on a separate day, usually the last Wednesday of the month. I have had several trials since I've been here. These are all public proceedings, and I encourage anybody who's interested to attend, including all of you. Usually the comments I get from elected officials is that they had no idea the kinds of cases that we actually handle. I think it would be interesting, and I invite you, encourage you to get a glimpse of what happens in municipal court. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to serve the town of Castle Rock. As I said earlier, I do this in 8 jurisdictions as chief judge and 3 as relief. It has been an absolute pleasure so far. Can I answer any of your questions?
Any questions for the judge? Councilmember Brooks?
I don't necessarily have a question, but we just had a very interesting conversation about the Supreme Court decision while we were at dinner here. I'm sorry that decision was made, A. B, especially the timing of it, you know, right on the holidays, that left you, as you said, scrambling. It was a measure that passed through legislation this last year, but was vetoed by the governor. And I thought that was the end of it, but it was not. You know, he knew that the Supreme Court was going to take this up for review. It was very unfortunate. I have witnessed, you know, at the state capitol is a lot of effort to try to fight back against overreach, perceived overreach, of hey, we're going to run everything from the state capitol. Y'all just hold our beer and we'll take care of it. That's not the way that we like to operate in Castle Rock. I have questions about home rule authority, constitutional home rule authority. So we had a good discussion about it at dinner. Not necessarily any conclusions at this point, but maybe some directions in the future of maybe how we can work to try to put power back where it needs to be. And that's in the hands of, you know, of municipal courts, to where you're not being handcuffed and we're able to run our municipal proceedings according to how our residents feel like they ought to be run. It's a quaint notion that I'd like to hang on to. So we're going to do our best for that. More to come. Well, again, apologies that it came to that.
I appreciate that. And just so I can reflect back to you, I want to make it clear that I have chosen to be governed by the rules of judicial conduct. And as such, I don't typically comment on political issues. So I've heard everything you say. And I just want you to understand that while I may agree with you, it's not something I'm necessarily going to publicly acknowledge. I'm just telling you this is what the law is right now. This is less than a month old, and I'm sure a lot of municipalities will be considering how to deal with it or if to deal with it.
That's right. As you had mentioned, you mentioned CML. For those that are curious, CML is the Colorado Municipal League. They help on the legislative side. They're a legislative kind of lobbyist body.
Question. I've been here 9 months. I see among all of my courts, I don't know how many hundreds of people a week, so it's hard for me to remember everyone. There are a few here. I would say that this is very average in terms of recidivism. I can think of a few that tend to come back on the same charge over and over again. I don't think it's necessarily a very large number.
In those repeats, they're just minor, right? That's not
correct.
What was your toughest one yet?
Toughest repeat?
Well, toughest repeat and toughest, well, you said you had a trial.
Yeah, the trial, we've had a trial on an animal case.
Okay.
Those are always challenging for all kinds of reasons.
Yep.
I have 2 dogs. Part of my job is to make sure people understand what's happening, and that can be a real challenge sometimes. That was challenging from that perspective. I think as long as I don't really want to talk about any specific case down to the details, but I will tell you that in the 11 years I've been a municipal court judge, my first appeal came from the town of Castle Rock and the first trial I had, and it was dismissed.
Councilmember Brooks again?
Just a quick clarification. For those that are interested, what we're discussing about the Supreme Court case, it originally manifested in House Bill 24-1147. So you can go, I believe it was 1147. I'm just kind of going off of memory. But it was, this was the last legislative session. It was a House bill. And again, I believe it was 1147 if you want to access that. And look, it's, it was titled Fairness in Municipal Courts. And the idea was that basically no municipality could exceed punishment, you know, fines or prison time, imprisonment beyond what the state deems appropriate for those same offenses. So there has been a hodgepodge of municipalities. For Castle Rock, just to use as an example, you know, this town exists solely off of retail sales tax. If we wanted to try to run the town on property tax, we'd make it about 2 weeks into the fiscal year before town would go bankrupt. So we exist only on retail sales tax. So we should take retail sales or retail theft very, very seriously and punish it accordingly. But we've been instructed by the Supreme Court that we cannot have stiffer penalties than what Colorado law allows for those. So it's basically homogenizing punishment throughout all courts. So that's what we're talking about there.
And I'm going to add one more thing.
Councilmember Dietz.
And then I'll be done. And again, this has nothing, no reflection on Judge Storer. This is just me and Max going back and forth. I want to remind people that the Supreme Court is appointed by the governor. They're not elected. Thank you.
Anything you'd like to add, Judge?
I don't think so, sir.
Thank you for coming for us.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Moving on to the acceptance of the agenda, if there are changes nor additions nor deletions to the agenda, a motion to accept the agenda will be accepted.
Let's move to accept the agenda.
Second.
First from Councilmember Bracken, second by Councilmember Dietz. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on to consent calendar, these items are generally routine in nature and have been previously reviewed by town council and will be voted on a single motion without discussion. Any member of town council may remove an item from the town from the consent calendar. Number six, resolution 2026-1. Resolution reappointing David J. Thrower as a presiding judge of the Town of Castle Rock Municipal Court and approving his service contract. Number seven, resolution 2026-2, resolution appointing substitute judges for the Town of Castle Rock Municipal Court. Number eight, minutes 2026-1, minutes to December 16th, 2025 Town Council meeting. I'll accept the motion.
Mr. Mayor, I would actually request to please remove resolution 2026-001 and have that voted upon separately.
And vote on it separately?
Yes, sir.
Sure. We will take off number six, resolution 2026-1. We will vote on number seven and number eight.
Move to approve the consent calendar as adjusted.
Second.
I have a first by Councilmember Brooks, a second by Councilmember Davis. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you. Moving back to number six, resolution 2026-1, resolution reappointing David J. Thrower as a presiding judge of the Town of Castle Rock Municipal Court and approving a service contract.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move to approve resolution 2026-001.
Second.
I have a first by Councilmember Brooks, a second by Councilmember Bracken. Any further discussion?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. I've never asked to remove anything from a consent calendar, but I just didn't want this to be part of just a regular consent calendar because I felt like it was probably appropriate, given a very good report and some outstanding work that we've seen so far from our municipal judge, that I would like to just have it voted on separately, and so that gives us an opportunity to be able to comment. Me personally, my comment is that I'm deeply thankful for your service, sir, and obviously be very much in support to approve this resolution.
Councilmember Bracken?
If I may, Mayor. Yeah, the 90% of traffic tickets, that other 10% is a huge service to our community, and we appreciate your time and efforts. Thank you.
Councilmember Hollinshead?
I don't think I ever met anybody that had to go for the other 10% of Judge Gresh, but this year I actually had two people, one on each side of a case, and they both just talked about the professionalism of the court and a good experience. So appreciate it.
Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kaby?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you very much. Moving on to quasi-judicial hearings, the following items are due process hearings required under Colorado law. In order to afford all parties due process under law, town council members must be fair and impartial in deciding whether an application should be approved, approved with conditions, or denied. In making that determination, each council member must be considered for the record, which includes planning commission recommendation, staff recommendation, applicant presentation, public comment presented during the hearing, and other written public comments offered before or during the hearing. Under law, town council must evaluate proposal based solely upon the record of the criteria established under municipal code, which are highlighted in the staff report. It is important each council member remain objective and capable of considering information offered for the record during the hearing. If any council member believes that he or she is incapable of evaluating and voting on the application consistent with due process requirements, please describe the situation and recuse yourself from further participation. Does any council member have a conflict of interest that he or she would like to disclose? Madam Clerk, has the public hearing been properly noticed under applicable regulations in these type of land use hearings?
Mayor Gray, yes, it has.
Thank you. Council will now hear from the applicant, public, and staff. Public comments with 4 minutes per speaker. Number 9, Order 2026-1, Ordinance amending the Town of Castle Rock's Zone District Map, approving Amendment Number 7 for the Crystal Valley Ranch Plan, Development Plan, and Zoning Regulations. First reading, Tara Vargas.
All right, good evening, Mayor and Town Council. Members, this is an application where the town is both the applicant and the staff presenter, so there's not a separate presentation later tonight. So this is a proposed amendment to Crystal Valley Ranch PD for one specific area. So on the vicinity map, you will recognize this parcel. This is about 20.2 acres in size. It's north of Crystal Valley Parkway and north of Loop Road and just east of Riley Light Park. So this land area that's identified in blue has zoning uses that allow public land uses such as school, public land dedication, and residential development. This is the parcel that we had three public hearings on previously in 2025. It has a development agreement with the unique provision to convey it back to the developer in the odd chance that the Douglas County School District determines that it would not be used as a school site. So that is was the focus of the previous public hearings related to this parcel. Throughout that, those public hearings, they were well attended by residents from the community, and we received feedback that led to really where we are tonight. So last October, council approved a memorandum of understanding between the town and the developer that would basically shift the development area to the west, so 45 feet into toward Rhyolite Park, and that would allow a wider buffer on the east side. I'll show you that in more detail on the next slide, but since this has the aerial, you can see that existing neighborhood just on the east side, and you can see some of the road connections. So Douglas County School District did formally notify us last year that they would not be proceeding, and we did work through the process with the Memorandum of Understanding at our last meeting on this topic in October. So tonight's focus is just on a rezoning of the area, so we're calling this Amendment 7 to the Crystal Valley Ranch PD. Basically, this planning area 3A has existing uses on it today for residential, and we are shifting those uses into the blue area. So on the screen in front of you, in blue is a 45-foot wide strip that currently today is zoned for public land dedication. So this amendment would rezone the blue area to allow the same residential that exists on the rest of the white area on the screen, PA3A. In exchange, the area in red on the eastern side is an equivalent 0.915 acre area that would be zoned public land dedication. So that complies with the memorandum of understanding that was approved in October that was really swapping the uses. Now, separately, or next steps, the developer would submit a site development plan where they show the road connections that would be in agreement with the memorandum of understanding. And it also currently is showing more buffer space than this area in red. But this is the equivalent swapped acreages that were discussed and agreed to. To be clear, there are no changes to the permitted residential uses on PA3A. We're just shifting those 45 feet to the west and making sure that there's a new strip of land that is public land dedication on the east side. So related to this process, as I mentioned, the conveyance of the parcel did have three separate public meetings with town council in 2025, just a year ago, April, September, and October. Those were very well attended. When we noticed for the rezoning for this 45-foot wide strip, we had one neighborhood meeting in December. We had two residents attend. They had general appreciation for the creation of the buffer and really had questions about the number of holes on the disc golf course. So it was not the same type of feedback we received at the previous public hearings. So with that, we scheduled it for Planning Commission, which went on December 11th. I think I'll touch on that on the next slide, and one resident attended and didn't speak at that meeting. So for a PD amendment, for the rezoning amendment, you see on this screen the review and approval criteria. Again, we're not creating any new uses in this area, any new traffic generation, any new or different circulation or open space. We're just shifting what currently exists today 45 feet to the west. So staff found that it does meet the objectives of our guiding documents. It is consistent with the overall zoning for Crystal Valley Ranch, and we didn't change any of the uses in planning area 3A. So Planning Commission reviewed this on December 11th. They did vote 6-0 to recommend approval to you all tonight. With that, I have a proposed motion for your consideration to approve the ordinance as introduced by title. I'm happy to answer any questions you have, and also there's not a separate additional developer presentation.
Thank you, Tara. Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
I have two questions for you, Tara. I already know the answer, but I'm doing this for the public. When we move this over into Rhyolite Park, that means that we're losing space in Rhyolite Park, correct?
Yes, and we're adjusting the disc golf course accordingly.
Right. Yep. Second is, has this developer made any accommodations to his development so that we don't have to do this?
The developer did hold, when we had our neighborhood meeting on the 9th, they had their first neighborhood meeting on the site development plan. They showed the layout, which was sometimes referred to last year's option 3, so they showed a site plan that was consistent with what was before council October 21st with the memorandum of understanding. So in their changes, it is utilizing the 45-foot strip area, but it is increasing the buffer on that eastern side, and they are showing the elimination of the road connections on the north end in other areas. Yes.
But they have not adjusted down the amount of their homes that they're building in there in order for us not to have to make this adjustment, correct?
Correct, as was agreed to in the past public hearing. Yes.
Thank you.
Councilmember Davis.
It looks like on this map that it's going into the park entrance. Is that right?
Yes, and that area in white there, that leg over into the park, is already part of Planning Area 3A. As a part of our past discussions on the proposed layout, we asked them to remove that northern road connection, and we asked them to make sure they had a connection to the park to prevent all of the traffic going through the one main.
Right, so that's
let me go up a slide.
That's an overflow then.
On this slide, there's one main entrance off Crystal Valley Parkway. And originally, they had planned to just utilize that as the main entrance. And there was concern that that would congest a intersection that the existing neighborhood is using. And so this new neighborhood would have two ways in and out, so they can head out through the Rhyolite Park area. That does line up with a future intersection improvement at Crystal Valley Parkway and Loop Road that the town will be pursuing separately.
Nice. So,
That parcel's already, the zoning and the plan for that connection generally has always been there, but their option three site plan is showing it right now.
Okay. I'm happy that there's two exits. Yeah. The thing that I'm worried about is that I go to that park a lot in the summer, and that lot gets super full, and then people park on the sides, and then people have to squeeze by to get in there. Is there any way that we can have them widen that so they can get two full cars in and out of that area?
Widen the entrance? I think as the site development plan will have its traffic study, it will have its construction plans, and it will come through the public staff review, separate staff review, and then public hearings. So that'll be something that we'll look at that time. I don't know the width of that current entrance and how many lanes could go in there, but we'll have them look at that with their first submittal for that site development plan.
Great. Thank you.
Any further questions for Tara? Seeing none, I do have someone to speak. Susan McAfee.
Good evening, Mayor Gray, Mayor Pro Tem Cavey, council members, staff, and residents, and a happy new year. My name is Susan McAfee, and I am a resident of Castle Rock, specifically Crystal Valley. I had the pleasure of attending the Planning Commission meeting on December 11th and witnessed the developer of the Canyons give a wonderful presentation on his development and how he held three neighborhood meetings and gave land back to the community for their wildlife. Then the presentation for the Crystal Valley Ranch development was given, which was given by town staff because the developer couldn't be bothered to show up for the meeting. The Planning Commission had no clue as to what this amendment number 7 was all about. Finally, one of the commission members asked the town staff to explain it. She gave a Reader's Digest condensed version, leaving out the juicy details of the alleged bribe and the school board not getting a chance to discuss it. So the Planning Commission passed what was in front of them without knowing all the details of how the developer had promised to give 135 foot wide of open space between the old and new subdivisions in exchange for the town giving him part of Rhyolite Park. The maps did not have any legible details either for the Planning Commission to look at. Tonight's map was not put as a separate attachment, but if you look at your attachment B on your computers, you'll scroll down on attachment B, which is the ordinance, and find an attachment on attachment B called attachment A. And that attachment A is a map. And that map is basically hiding at the bottom of the ordinance, labeled attachment B. This map actually has a little more detail in it, enough to see that the developer is not giving the people what they asked for, which was a 35-foot open space between the two subdivisions. If you look at your hidden map, you will see that there are places where this plan does not even come close to 135 feet. The cul-de-sac at the top can't be more than 10 feet from the property lines of the homes in the older subdivision. The cul-de-sac impedes on what should be open space. The developer needs to go back to the drawing board and do a better job of being a good neighbor. He could learn a few things from the developer of the Canyons. And the town manager needs to not waive neighborhood meetings just because turnout was low at the one and only neighborhood meeting the developer held on this item. December is a busy month for everyone, and just because people can't make one meeting doesn't mean they won't make others. And even though this has been on before town council previously, not everyone has had the time to attend and sit through a town council meeting before this item comes up on the agenda. The people of that neighborhood have tried to make their concerns known, but they believe that the developer, and for that matter, no one in the town government, cares about their concerns at all. Please show the people you care and hold the developer's feet to the fire. It appears to everyone that the developer is the only one getting something out of this deal. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Susan. I have no one else time to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium. Speak in your microphone, state your name, whether you're a resident or non-resident. You'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, now I'll bring it back to town council for a possible motion and discussion. Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
So my questions were leading earlier because it's just pointing out kind of what Susan was just talking about. There has been no compromise whatsoever by this developer. We've had wonderful developers coming in here. Canyons Far South, Dawson Trails, coming in and willing to compromise, willing to do what is right for the community. I see none of that here. Nothing. In fact, we're having to give up some of our own park in order to accommodate this development. So this is going to be a hard no for me.
Thank you. Councilmember Dietz.
Thank you, Council. Mike, these are just my comments and a reflection on town staff. This is for when the site development plan does come, and hopefully Mr. Brown hears this. First of all, you come with your 500 grand, and you give up enough homes on the west side to create more buffer, I'll give you what you want. I think a lot of people have just grown frustrated and just haven't wanted to attend. A lot of them contact me. They're very frustrated. I'm frustrated because this should have been town park, something that we could have done even better. We've gone past that part already, but to make this right, if he can give up some of that space on the west side to create a bigger buffer, That's enough for now. We'll wait for a site development plan, but hopefully Mr. Brown, if he cares to look at this stuff or hear this stuff, you know, come with a $500,000 check and give it back to the town so we can build a roundabout there. Thank you.
Councilor Bracken.
Yeah, Tara, what would the impact be to the project if this number seven is declined?
I would need to consult with the town attorney because council authorized and approved a memorandum of understanding at the October 21st meeting, which agreed to the swap and agreed to the town initiating this rezoning, which shifts the developable area over. I guess without this, the developer can develop where PA3A is today, and they have no requirement to give the area in red as public land dedication. Is really where it stands today. They have all of their rights afforded under the current zoning on the property, and this was part of our request to shift the development away from the east. And there is more buffer that they're proposing. This is just the equivalent area to be owned by the town. There's a wider buffer area on their site development plan. So hopefully that answers your question. I'm not sure if Mike wants to add any more to it.
My point is that if amendment number seven doesn't pass, then the residents potentially lose the buffer and they just go back to the prior.
Right, the existing parcel can be developed as it is today immediately in their back yards per the zoning entitlements in place. And that was really the last three public meetings that we had related to the development agreement, and the town would be in default of that development agreement if we had not proceeded.
Would it be appropriate to go back to the developer again and request another rework on it?
I would need to see what the end of that memorandum of understanding has in it. We have the actions before us and a deadline to have it all completed by. I believe it has to be ready to swap and convey back to them by the end of March. And so if we're in default of that agreement, then I believe they're able to develop as they plan to. And again, they're still working on their site development plan, and we'll have additional meetings on that. Mike, anything else to add?
Yeah, I think we've already entered into this memorandum of understanding that council approved. The property has transferred, and they could sit on their development rights instead of doing what they did, was effectively compromising in terms of putting together a plan that hopefully we all could live with, given the fact that years ago. The council in 2007 agreed to essentially give them the development rights for single and multifamily in this property, and agreed to give the property back. The school district said, we don't need it. We're kind of sitting between a rock and a hard place, frankly.
And I do want to add to that. Thank you, Mike, for pointing that out. The zoning on this property allows multifamily. As a part of the memorandum of understanding, they agreed to pursue the single-family layout of the 112, which is what is attached in the ordinance and was attached as a part of the MOU in the October meeting. So their proposed layout, they're agreeing to pursue the single-family option, even though the entitled rights on the property allow multifamily. So thank you for pointing that out. I apologize, Mayor Pro Tem Cavey, for not pointing that one out earlier.
Okay. I just don't want to step in a bucket on something that we've already agreed to is kind of where I'm going with it. Like, yeah, I agree more concession and more space would be more better. But kind of where we're at, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've already done the memory of the MOU as a council item back in October. Councilmember Davis?
So you're basically saying that if we vote no on this, then he can go back to his original as many houses as he could fit on there?
As a zoning, I think it allows up to 14 units per acre.
And then the buffer would scoot back over to the original.
They are allowed to. And yeah, the memorandum of understanding that was reviewed by council and approved in October has a whole section on liquidated damages and default. And I am not the attorney, but it is all in there when agreed to. And the deadline is, yeah, as I mentioned, the end of March. Oh, excuse me, March 1st, the end of February.
Okay, thank you.
So what's at risk is losing the space and having a lesser product potentially in the outside of what we've already agreed to. Is that seem
correct?
Accurate?
That's my understanding, yes.
That's what I thought. I just didn't want to talk out of turn.
Councilmember Dietz.
I mean, great comments. All we can do is ask. And he's not here, so I'm kind of metaphorically asking him, but I will ask him again. All we can do is ask. I understand all that other mumbo jumbo, but all this came down in such a shadowy, dark-sided way, and unfortunately 2007 council, far as I'm concerned, made a mistake. Can't change that, but we can continue to ask this gentleman to simply, I'm willing to give him if he gives up a little bit, like Mayor Pro Tem Cavey had asked for. That's all my comments. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. I move to approve the ordinance introduced by title.
Second.
I have a first by myself, Jason Gray, second by Councilmember Hollingshead. Any further discussion? I do appreciate this discussion. I also appreciate that saying no to this might make it worse instead of better. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
No.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
No.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-3.
Thank you. Number 10. Advertise public hearing and discussion action items, public comment. We take on these items limited 4 minutes per speaker. Number 10, resolution 2026-3, resolution finding a petition of annexation submitted with the Diocese of Colorado Springs in substantial compliance with Article 2, Section 31B of the Colorado Constitution and the Sections 31-12-1071 CRS, and setting a date, time, and place for the hearing prescribed under Section 31-12-108 CRS to determine if the subject property is eligible for annexation under Article 2, Section 30 of the Colorado Constitution and Sections 31-12-104 and 31-12-105 CRS, St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church Annexation. Tara?
All right, good evening, Mayor and Council. This is the substantial compliance hearing for the proposed annexation of St. Francis of Assisi. On the vicinity map here, you see the parcel. It's just over 16 and a half acres. It is in currently in unincorporated Douglas County, developed as a church in their parking area and associated facilities. It's south of 5th Street and generally east of Valley Road. So the property today, as I mentioned, is unincorporated Douglas County. They are served by Castle Rock Water. However, they do have their own septic system. As a part of the annexation moving forward, they would be connecting fully to town services. So just FYI on that. At this point of the state of Colorado's three-step annexation process, we are at step one. This is just the substantial compliance hearing. Tonight, we are just talking about the state application requirements. Is their petition they submitted accurate? Is it complete? There will be future public hearings on the eligibility, on whether the property is eligible to annex. Do they touch the town's boundary and meet all of those other requirements? And then later, we will then have the submittal for the zoning, and we will review the annexation and zoning. So at that third step is when we will be talking about whether the town should annex the property. So again, tonight we're focused on, was their petition accurate and complete? It's also tonight's focus to set that eligibility hearing date. There's a lot of law that regulates when that has to occur and how it's noticed. So the substantial compliance requirements are generally summarized in the four items on your slide here. Did all the right people sign the petition? Was it signed in the appropriate amount of time before being filed with the clerk? Was the petition and map accurate and contain all of the right information? That's state statute. And then was the petition and map accurately filed with the town clerk? So those are really the elements that staff has reviewed. That's the focus of your motion tonight. Staff does find that it does meet those requirements for this first step in the annexation process as established in Section 30 of Article 2 of the Colorado Constitution and in Colorado Revised Statutes 31-12-1071. So staff is recommending your approval tonight of the substantial compliance resolution and recommends setting the eligibility hearing date for Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. Here's your proposed motion, and I'm happy to answer any questions. There's no separate presentation by the developer. However, their engineer is with us if needed. Thank you.
Any questions for Tara? Seeing none, I'll bring back to town. I'll bring to public. Is anyone who wishes to speak? Please approach the podium, speak in the microphone. Please state your name and whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll bring back to town council for a possible motion and discussion.
I move to approve the resolution as introduced by title.
Second.
First by Councilmember Davis, second by Councilmember Dietz. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks.
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz. Mayor Pro Tem Kaby.
Yes.
Mayor Gray.
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number 11 on the agenda, Resolution 2026-4, Resolution Improvement Purchase and Sale Agreement between a Guardian Angel Trust and the town of Castle Rock for the Lost Canyon Ranch. Jeff Brower.
Good evening, Mayor, Town Council. Happy New Year from our Parks and Recreation Department. We're anxious to get going on a great 2026, and we look forward to working with all of you in our wonderful Castle Rock community. As you all are aware, some of the most treasured assets here in Castle Rock are some of our open space parcels that we've been able to acquire over time and put to use and get people out and seeing and experiencing the natural environment. Tonight, you have the opportunity to enter into a purchase and sale agreement to add to that inventory of open space that we have here in Castle Rock. I have a map on the screen right now which shows our Lost Canyon parcel, which we picked up in 2023, 681 acres. The bottom right, the southeast corner of that parcel, shown in red, is an additional 35 acres of property that we're going to talk about tonight for the purchase and sale agreement. In addition to the area shown in hatched red, there is also a access easement that goes across Lost Canyon Ranch that is part of this property that is used to gain access to this property for the person who owns that property. We're seeking for a council's authorization for this purchase, including non-tributary groundwater rights and well infrastructure from the Conservation Trust for $1,100,000. As you all know, our open space is a priority here in town, and this will continue to safeguard our tranquility and our character of our Lost Canyon Ranch open space. Part of the agreement is to deposit $25,000 earnest money as required by the purchase and sale agreement, which you've all read and which is before you. That begins our 60-day diligence time frame. We hope to beat that by quite a ways, but this is a time-sensitive matter. We have a willing seller who's ready to go. As I indicated previously, this does have water rights included. Mark Marlowe and the Castle Rock water staff have evaluated those water rights. Right now, they are estimating those between $69,000 and $87,000 based upon the quantities that they believe are there. Castle Rock Water, as you know, one of the things that really allows us to leverage some of our monies here is partnering with other agencies and departments, and Castle Rock Water is willing to go ahead and make a financial contribution to this project because they believe in our open space acquisition and what we can bring to their efforts and resources also. So we're requesting the time to secure the opportunity, proceed with escrow and due diligence activities. We can terminate this agreement at any time that you feel that it is not meeting the requirements of that purchase and sale agreement and found to be unsuitable. We will close on this property when we find it to be suitable and with your authorization. We do have a time limit of April 1st of 2026. We always like to go ahead and review the budget impact for town council. So this is $1,100,000. This is generally from, the majority of this money is coming from the Conservation Trust Fund, which is located in the Parks and Recreation Department budget and our open space acquisition account. With the purchase and sale agreement, that authorizes the remission of $25,000 earnest money to be deposited upon council approval. Castle Rock Water will provide a financial contribution. That reduces our net acquisition costs, obviously, for our conservation trust fund. You have proposed motions in front of you, and then we have alternate motions for your consideration. That concludes my presentation, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Any questions for Jeff? Seeing none, I'll bring this to the public. I have no one signed to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium. And state whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner, you'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll bring back to town council for a possible motion and discussion.
Move to approve the resolution as introduced by title.
Second.
First by Councilmember Brooks, second by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. Any further discussion?
I just want to say thank you, Jeff, for working on this, for Dave, for bringing it to us. We all know how important this is to the community. These are some of the things that I love that we do here, and I know it takes a village to bring these things together, so thank you very much. And these things make me happy to vote yes on, so thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Brooks?
Yeah, I'd be very much in favor of this. I appreciate staff's work on being able to get this deal as quickly, because I know it is a timing element we need to be sensitive to. you know, we've already bought the Ferrari. You know, let's put some tires on it, right? It wouldn't make sense not to move quickly on this and be able to secure this, because this is an easy one to say yes to because of what it means, you know, for the community and access. So very much in favor. Thank you for your work.
Thank you. Councilmember Dietz?
Yeah, this isn't the first time we've talked about this, folks. This is so they didn't just come and we're just saying yes now. So we definitely knew about this. It diddle what they said. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
I want to thank you for your attention on this. You guys were nice enough to bring us out there and go take a look at it. I was kind of skeptical at it at first, but after we got the tour with Dave and Ryan, and it was really, it's really something that that we make this such a big deal. I just want to thank you for all the work that you guys and your staff has done, and all the work that you guys are going to do to get this thing prepared to open up for everybody. This is really fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yeah, we took that tour together, and just there's so many great views out there, but there's a couple epic views with this purchase, too, that people are going to have access to, so it's going to be pretty special.
Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number 12, Ordinance 2026-2, Ordinance amending Sections 14.02, 0.040, and 14.02, 0.050 of the Castle Rock Municipal Code regarding disposition and lease of real property owned by the town. Mike Hyman?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. See, we're going to be considering an amendment to the municipal code regarding the disposition and lease of town-owned real property. It's important to kind of look at what our existing laws are, and I think it's pretty much consistent with what you'd find with what we refer to as a statutory city. Statutory cities in the state do not have a home rule charter. They are subject to the provisions of Title 31 of the Colorado Revised Statutes, much of which were adopted decades ago. And one in this case would be Section 3115, 713 of the Colorado Revised Statutes. We'll refer to it as the Real Property Statute. Our code currently provides that we can approve the disposition of real property so long as the disposition complies with that statute. Provides a couple of limited exceptions right now. We propose a couple more. So one thing that I think we still have home rule power over are the statutes in Title 31, at least for the most part. There is provision in there that says that we can supersede the provisions of state law if we adopt a charter provision or an ordinance pursuant to the powers that we have under that charter. And so we'd like to recommend to you to provide a little additional flexibility to act when you need to in the best interests of the town and its citizens. So here are the proposed amendments we're looking at. Look at a new subsection D that would allow town council to approve an agreement by resolution to convey town-owned real property in exchange for acquiring another parcel of real property. We also are proposing a change to add subsection E, which would allow us to approve an agreement, once again by resolution, if we are conveying property to a nonprofit entity and we make a finding that, one, the conveyance serves a public purpose and is in the best interest of the town and its residents, and two, we retain a right of reversion if the property is subsequently conveyed or attempt is made to convey that property to a for-profit entity, or if the property is no longer used for the purpose for which it was conveyed, such as a recreation center. We also have a couple other little cleanups. A revised subsection G would allow the town manager to administratively vacate an access easement or an unimproved right-of-way that has never been opened for public use if no public need exists for the easement or the right-of-way. This is an effort to clean up old plats where roads may have been relocated or utilities may have been relocated. The one that comes to mind was the original plat for the layout of this town contained an alley right through the middle of Cantrell School. Now, we had to go through a rather extensive process to clean that up. This would allow us to do things like that more expeditiously, because I don't think we were ever going to put an alley right through the middle of that school. And then Jay, conversely, addresses the same flexibility with regard to utility tracks or easements that are dedicated in plats, if those tracks or easements are no longer necessary for either our purposes or a public utility purpose. One other cleanup, if we vacate right-of-way, rather than go through a process of having a new zoning ordinance adopted for a 10-foot strip of property or whatever it may be, all the right-of-way that's vacated pursuant to the section will have the same zoning as the abutting land to which it accrues as a result of the vacation. Just some common sense ideas so we can act quickly and not have to go through a large and protracted process. As for section 1402 of 50, we're going to simplify the process of leasing town-owned property by allowing town council to approve leases solely by resolution rather than utilize an ordinance to do that, which is really something that should be reserved for legislative processes. We want to give you the flexibility to act quickly and expediently. So without further ado, we're going to recommend the approval of this ordinance introduced by title. And if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them, as well as the town manager.
Thank you, Michael. Any questions for town attorney Michael or David Corliss? Seeing none, I have no one's time to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium and whether it's please your name and whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner, you'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll bring back to town council for a possible motion and discussion.
I move to approve ordinance number 2026-002 as introduced by title.
Second.
First by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey, second by Councilmember Hollingshead. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Good enough. Yes.
Brian.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks.
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
Mayor Gray.
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you very much. Thanks for everyone's participation. Happy New Year. The time is now 7:17. I'll set the motion to adjourn the meeting.
Let's move.
Second.
I have a first by Councilmember Bracken, second by Councilmember Hollingshead. Any further discussion? Roll call vote.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks.
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz.
Sure.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
Mayor Gray.
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you very much. We are adjourned.